his mortal world.
Purport.
Although one may be well versed in the transcendental science, one should be careful about the offense of maryada vyatikrama, or impertinently surpassing a greater personality. Sri Uddhava said, "You may take lessons from the great learned sage Maitreya, who is nearby and who is worshipable for reception of transcendental knowledge. He was directly instructed by the personality of Godhead while he was about to quit this mortal world."
Purport.
Although one may be well versed in the transcendental science, one should be careful about the offense of maryada vyatikrama, or impertinently surpassing a greater personality. According to scriptural injunction, one should be very careful of transgressing the law of maryada vyatikrama, because by so doing, one loses his duration of life, his opulence, fame, and piety, and the blessings of all the world. To be well versed in the transcendental science necessitates awareness of the techniques of spiritual science. Uddhava, being well aware of all these technicalities of transcendental science, advised Vidura to approach Maitreya Rishi to receive transcendental knowledge. Vidura wanted to accept Uddhava as his spiritual master, but Uddhava did not accept the post because Vidura was as old as Uddhava's father, and therefore Uddhava could not accept him as his disciple, especially when Maitreya was present nearby. The rule is that in the presence of a higher personality, one should not be very eager to impart instructions, even if one is competent and well-versed. So Uddhava decided to send an elderly person like Vidura to Maitreya, another elderly person. But he was well-versed also because he was directly instructed by the Lord while he was about to quit this mortal world. Since both Uddhava and Maitreya were directly instructed by the Lord, both had the authority to become the spiritual master of Vidura or anyone else. But Maitreya, being elderly, had the first claim to become the spiritual master, especially for Vidura, who is much older than Uddhava. One should not be eager to become a spiritual master cheaply for the sake of profit and fame, but should become a spiritual master only for the service of the Lord. The Lord never tolerates the impertinence of maryada vyatikrama. One should never pass over the honor due to an elderly spiritual master in the interests of one's own personal gain and fame. Impertinence on the path of impertinence on the part of the pseudo-spiritual master is very risky to progressive spiritual realization. The verse again reads, Uddhava uvacha nano te tattva samradhya rishi kosharavo antike shakshad bhagavata dishto martyalokam jihasata. Sri Uddhava said, "You may take lessons from the great learned sage Maitreya, who is nearby and who is worshipable for reception of transcendental knowledge. He was directly instructed by the personality of Godhead while he was about to quit this mortal world. Mukham karoti bachalam pangam langayate grim yat kripa tarham mande shri gurun dinatarinam." So this maryada vyatikrama, impertinently trying to step over the authority of a more advanced senior devotee, is the cause for a phenomena which is seen in Vaishnavism, which is called the apasampradaya. So you may know that sampradaya means disciplic succession. Just like we have our Madhva, it is called Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. This disciplic succession that we are in, Lord Chaitanya's disciplic succession, it originates from Lord Brahma. That has been described. The origin of our disciplic succession has been described in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the chapter called Answers by Citing the Lord's Version. Then, in this age of Kali, the great devotee, the great Acharya, Madhvacharya, he revived the Brahma Sampradaya. The Brahma Sampradaya had become temporarily lost in time. So Madhva went up to Badrikasha in the Himalaya mountains, and he had the darshan of Vyasa. Vyasadev is the disciple of Narada, who is the disciple of Brahma. So Madhvacharya, he began to teach in South India the principles of the Brahma Sampradaya, he was expounding on Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. And then one of the later disciples in this line, Lakshmipati Tirtha, he went north from South India and he initiated devotees like, well, actually he was this, he gave initiation to Nityananda, Lord Nityananda, and also Advaitacharya, and also Ishwarapuri. And Ishwarapuri in turn was the spiritual master, or he acted as the spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya, who is actually the supreme spiritual master. But Lord Chaitanya, to show that one must accept spiritual master in order to be a recognized spiritual authority, he took initiation, although he is the self-sufficient Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, he took initiation from Sri Ishwarapuri. So, when the teachings of the Brahma Madhva Sampradaya came into Bengal in this way, by Lakshmipati Tirtha, it became known as the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. Gaudiya, Gouda, Gouda Desh refers to Bengal. So, this branch of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is known as the Gaudiya Sampradaya, the Bengal Vaishnava Sampradaya. So this is a genuine, naturally, of course, without a doubt, a genuine school of Vaishnava learning. And there are other genuine schools. The Sri Sampradaya, or Lakshmi Sampradaya, as it is also known. The Sampradaya which descends from Goddess Lakshmi, the great Acharya in that line is Ramanujacharya. So in all over India, one sees the centers of the Ramanuja Sampradaya, or Sri Sampradaya. And then there is the Kumar Sampradaya, which comes from the four Kumaras. And this Sampradaya is still visible, as is the Rudra Sampradaya. So there are four main Sampradayas of Vaishnava learning. But there are also what are called Appa Sampradayas. That means that someone has entered the bona fide Sampradaya, but has become impertinent, as Prabhupada says here. He splits away from the bona fide Sampradaya after having received some knowledge, and he declares himself an independent guru. An example of this one can see in Puri, in Jagannath Puri, in eastern India. There's a very well-known Appa Sampradaya. The word Appa, by the way, means in Sanskrit, deviated. So, a very well-known Appa Sampradaya is called the Ativadi sect. Ativadi, in Orissan language, means too great. So the story behind that is there was one disciple, or at least we can say a seeming disciple, of Srila Haridas Thakur, whom we mentioned yesterday. Haridas Thakur was sent forth by Lord Chaitanya along with Lord Nityananda to preach Krishna consciousness in Navadvip. Later on, Haridas Thakur came down to Jagannath Puri and stayed there while Lord Chaitanya was there. So Jagannath Puri had his own little kutir. Kutir means a little hut in which a saintly person lives to perform his bhajan. He had his kutir in a nice garden, which was personally given to him by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So one person named Jagannath Das, he took up the association of Haridas Thakur, and he apparently became Haridas Thakur's disciple, although it was, as can be seen as the story unfolds, he was not really a genuine disciple. But for drawing attention to himself, for becoming recognized by common people as being important, an important spiritualist, Jagannath Das, he pretended to be the disciple of Haridas Thakur. But after some time, Jagannath Das manifested independence, impertinent independence from Haridas Thakur. He began to change things. One sees this even today. It's the same thing is going on today. That someone, in order to make his mark, you see, make his mark in spiritual society, he begins to change things in order to be unique. So Jagannath Das, he reversed the order of the Hare Krishna mantra. In other words, he began to chant Hari Rama part first. Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari, Hari Krishna, Hari Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari. Reversed it. And giving some reason. But the main thing is that just to show that he is different. You see, he is unique. He has understood something beyond what the acharyas have understood. And he began to teach that when chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one should cover one's mouth with a piece of white cloth. So he was introducing this among his disciples. So they're putting white cloth over their mouth as they chanted. So then one day, in order to get full recognition, he wanted to get recognition or authorization from Lord Chaitanya that he is bona fide guru. Just as it is stated here, Uddhava, he recommended Vidura to go to Maitreya Muni, because Maitreya Muni was there when Lord Krishna instructed Uddhava. Actually, Krishna was instructing Uddhava. His attention was on Uddhava. But Maitreya Muni, who is also a great sage, he also sat there and heard. Lord Krishna didn't pay very much attention to Maitreya Muni because he was not as dear a devotee as Uddhava. Maitreya Muni is a Jnana Bhakta Mishra. Jnana Bhakti Mishra. That means his bhakti, his devotion to the Lord is mixed with jnana, with some tendency to speculate. So, therefore he was not such a dear devotee. But still, Lord Krishna allowed him to be there and hear the same instructions. So therefore he's recognized spiritual master. So, this Jagannath Das, in a sort of similar way, he wanted to be recognized by Lord Chaitanya. Because Lord Chaitanya was understood by all the Vaishnavas in Bengal and Orissa to be the Supreme Personality, to be Krishna himself. So Jagannath Das was thinking, if I go there and Lord Chaitanya recognizes me, then I can go anywhere and say, I am bona fide guru. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has recognized me. So this Jagannath Das, he came before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very impertinently. Because actually, before anyone could see Lord Chaitanya in Puri, he was to pass the scrutiny of Swarup Damodar Goswami. Swarup Damodar Goswami was checking everyone out who was coming to see Lord Chaitanya to see that they were actually bona fide devotees. But this Jagannath Das, he was able to circumvent Swarup Damodar Goswami, and he directly came in the presence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he declared, first he asked Lord Chaitanya that you please hear my reading of my translation of the Srimad Bhagavatam into the Orion language, the language of Orissa. Now this Jagannath Das, he had managed in his translation to add 5 new chapters to the Srimad Bhagavatam, which weren't there before. So Lord Chaitanya, he said, "My dear sir, I am very low and fallen. I am not competent to hear a recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam from such a personality as you." In this way, Lord Chaitanya was just trying to avoid him. And then Jagannath Das replied, "But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, everybody knows your real identity. You're saying you're so low and fallen, but everybody knows you are Krishna himself." And then Jagannath said, "And I declare that just as you are Krishna, so I am Srimati Radharani." So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, "My dear sir, you have become Ativadi. Ativadi means you have become too great. You have become too big." It's like we have this expression in the English language, to become too big for one's britches, you know, to become too big for one's pants. So, Lord Chaitanya meant this as a reprimand. You become Ativadi. But Jagannath Das was so much in illusion that he took this as a compliment. "Oh, I have become very important. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said so." So, therefore he founded an apasampradaya, a deviated sampradaya, which till this day goes by the name Ativadi, too great. They took this name as a compliment, as a stamp of authorization. Now Maharaj Prataparudra, he had given this Jagannath Das an ashram when Maharaj Prataparudra thought that he was a bona fide disciple of Haridas Thakur. But when he saw all these strange deviations appearing, then he took the ashram away from him. So Jagannath Das, he had become quite important by now among foolish people. So he managed to get some money and he built a new ashram called the Satlahari Math. And that's still there in Jagannath Puri on the seashore. One can still see it. And one can still see these Ativadis. They're a very strange group. Anyway, I don't want to talk much more about them. But one of the famous Ativadis of recent times was this Bisha Kishena. Was a yogi who was punished by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. This Bisha Kishan, he used to lean into fire. He would sit in front of a big fire and he would lean into it and hold his head in the flames. And then he would pull his head back and he would make the fire come out of his hair. So for magic like this, many, many people thought that he was Mahavishnu, descended into this world. And he had 2 cronies with him, 2 characters on either side of him, who went by the names Brahma and Shiva. So he had many, many followers, and some important By important, I mean wealthy persons who had some power at their hands. They became his disciples. And they used to supply him with women for Rasa Lila, because he's Mahavishnu, so he has to have his Rasa Lila. So these wealthy men, they would supply him with women. So he was making plots against the government. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was magistrate. So he was sent by the English government to arrest this Bhishakishan. And that's a whole story. Perhaps you've heard of this, how Bhishakishan was brought to court, and by magic he made Bhaktivinoda Thakur's 7-year-old daughter very ill, almost to the point of death. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he would not desist from his prosecution. He said, yes, we can all die, but let this rascal be punished, because he was a blasphemer. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was personally incensed because this Bhishakishan blasphemed Lord Jagannath by saying, because Bhaktivinoda Thakur invited him, come with me to the Jagannath temple, we will see the Lord. Because Bhaktivinoda Thakur was thinking, let me benefit this poor fool, he can have the darshan of Krishna. And Bhishakishan said, why should I go see a wooden statue when I am the Lord myself? So then Bhaktivinoda Thakur became furious. So he prosecuted him with great vigor. And even on the day before the sentencing, Bhaktivinoda Thakur himself became deathly sick by the influence of this yogi. But still, he got up in the morning, he put on his clothes, he took his carriage to the courthouse, and he sentenced this man to 1.5 years in prison. And right after the sentencing, he had to be prepared for the prison. So one British doctor, Walter, he came with a pair of shears. And this yogi had long, long hair. The yogis keep their power in their hair. So Dr. Walter, he cut off his hair. The yogi, during the whole trial, 27 days, had not eaten or even drunk a drop of water. So, in this way, there were thousands of people who were thronging outside of the courthouse, and they were protesting, let Bhishakishan go, he's a powerful yogi. Or actually, they were saying, he's the Lord himself. And they were taking this as proof that through the whole time of the trial, I think it was 18 days, not 27, through the whole 18 days, he had not even taken water, what to speak of food. But after his hair was cut, then the shock of that 18 days of not having eaten or drunk, it hit him at once, and he fell on the floor, unconscious. And then everyone could see, oh, without his hair, he's not powerful at all. And later on, he took poison in the jail and died. So that's an example of Ativadi Apasampradaya. So in Vaishnava Sampradaya system, there are three checks by which we know if someone is bona fide or not. That is Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. So, if someone is speaking something, or doing something, acting in a certain way, supposedly in devotion to the Lord, but if there's some question about his activity or what he is speaking, one may check. One may ask one's guru. And one may check with other sadhus, other saintly persons. And one may consult Shastra. So, if Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu do not correspond with the words or behavior of some so-called preacher or authority, then it is to be known that he is not bona fide. Of course, in a society which is asadhu, asadhu means which is uncontrolled, undisciplined, like karmi society, then the standard for becoming an authority, a recognized teacher, is simply that one is an upstart, that one challenges all other authority, one challenges the authority of Scripture, comes up with a new idea. And if he's bold enough, if he's, what is the word I'm thinking of? Not provocative, there's a word. Not provocative. Anyway, I can't think of the word. There's a good word. Something like impertinent. It's right on the tip of my tongue. I can't think of it. What is that word? Can't you think of the word? You speak English? Impudent. Impudent. Yeah? It's close. Anyway. Yeah, bold. He's bold, but I mean, bold also has a good sense, but we mean bold in a, yes, in an impudent sense. Then the world is full of foolish people, and they will think, oh yes, he's speaking very boldly, he doesn't care for anyone, he must be a great person. We'll accept what he says. So this is the method of becoming a recognized authority in the Asadhu society. Of course, it is all based on foolishness, actually, on cheating, this whole process. Just like there's a story of one, he was actually the court jester of a king named Maharaj Krishna Chandra at Krishna Nagar. Krishna Nagar is not far from Navadvip. So this court jester was named Gopal Ban. And one day, Maharaj Krishna Chandra, he received a message from the Nawab. Nawab was the Muslim, something like emperor, although not exactly. They had different gradations of kings. So the Nawab was responsible to the Mughal emperor, the Muslim emperor of all of India. So the Nawab was responsible for Bengal. And then under the Nawab, there were lesser kings. And some of these lesser kings were Hindus, not just Muslims. So Maharaj Krishna Chandra was a Hindu king. So the Nawab, who is his authority, sent a message that there's one conquering pundit, one person who travels around and he has debates with the local pundits, and he defeats them. So this conquering pundit has come here to Bengal, and he's challenging all the pundits of Bengal to a big debate. And he vows that he will defeat all of them. So I am requesting all the kings, all these sub-kings in Bengal, to please send your best pundits here to take up this challenge. So the Maharaj Krishna Chandra, he called in his Brahmins, and he showed them the message, and they all became afraid. They said, oh, we know this pundit. He's very, very tricky. He's very learned and very clever, and he's defeated everyone that he has ever confronted. And I'm sorry, Maharaj, we don't want to go before him. Now you see, a king, he cannot actually issue orders to Brahmins. Their relationship is cooperative, because the Brahmins in the Hindu caste system are actually higher than the king. So Maharaj Krishna Chandra, then he was really worried, because he didn't want to appear to disregard the instruction of the Nawab to send someone. He was in a real fix. The Nawab says you've got to send someone. And the Brahmins were saying, we don't want to go. So Maharaj Krishnachandra, he was very worried what to do. So then his joker, Gopal Ban, he saw that the king was very unhappy. So he said, Your Majesty, what's the problem? And Gopal Ban, Maharaj Krishnachandra said, Look, Gopal, go do something else now. This is no time for your jokes. I'm in a real fix now. It's a real serious problem, and I need some real help. I don't need a joke. So Gopal Ban said, Now, wait a minute, Your Majesty. I may be able to help you. You just have to tell me what the problem is. So then the king said, All right. So then he explained the problem. Then Gopal said, What's the problem? I'll go there. And I'll defeat this Digvijay pundit, this conquering pundit. And Maharaj Krishnachandra said, What? You're just a joker. And then Gopal Ban said, these pundits who wander around having arguments and defeating others, they're not really learned men. They're just joking upstarts. They're ridiculous fools. I can make a bigger fool out of them. Krishnachandra said, Well, if you think so, but you're not a pundit. How they will accept you as a pundit? And Gopal Ban said, Just a few minutes. And then he left. And after some minutes, he came back. And he had shaved his head, he'd left a big sikka in the back. He'd put on big tilak. He'd put on white cloth like a pundit. He had tied himself up with these amulets, kavachas, yes. He had put on big, big neck beads, and he was carrying under his arm what looked like a scroll, you see, wrapped in cloth, some special shastra. And so he came before, because he was a great actor, he came before the king, and he was looking just like a big, big pundit. The king was impressed. And the king said, Gopal, he said, I didn't know that you were learned in the scriptures. What is that scripture you have under your arm? And Gopal laughed and he said, This is a very special scripture. It's called the Katvanga Purana. And with this Katvanga Purana, I will defeat that conquering pundit. You just wait and see. I will reveal the secret of this Katvanga Purana after I return from defeating the pundit. So then Gopal, he went to the court of the Nawab. And so he entered, there was a big assembly, the Nawab was there, so many ministers and soldiers and members of the court. And seated on a big throne, there was this big pundit. He had long hair, long beard, he was looking very severe. And then Gopal Ban came in, and everyone looked, Oh, who is this pundit? He looks so learned. And Gopal Ban announced himself with some big, long title. I am Srishti Stiti Karta Bhattacharya. Some long Sanskrit name like that. And I have come... with my special shastra, which I have learned from my guru in the Vindhya hills of South India. I am his only disciple. I am the only pundit in all of India who is a master of this Katvanga Purana. And based on the authority of this shastra, I will defeat this pundit today. So conquering pundit, he became a little worried. He'd never heard of a Katvanga Purana before. So he said, now wait a minute, before this debate begins, I want to know what kind of scripture is this Katvanga Purana? So he said, this Katvanga Purana contains all Vedic knowledge within it. Everything from Jyotish, the science of astrology, to Vedanta. Everything is contained within this Purana. And then this Digvijaya, he became suspicious and he said, "I'm going to see this Katvanga Purana. Let me see it. I've not seen this scripture before. How do I know it's bona fide?" So he was trying to get an advantage. But then suddenly, he cried out. He pointed to the sun above. And he said, "Oh, oh." And then he drew everyone's attention to the sun. So above everyone in the court, they were looking. "Oh, the pundit is pointing at the sun. What is happening?" And he shouted. He said, "According to my Katvanga Purana, the sun has entered a very auspicious position in the sky at this very moment." And everyone was looking. What is happening now? It's so auspicious. So what shall we do to get full advantage of this auspicious moment? So Prabhupada, he announced, he said, "According to my Katvanga Purana, if anyone plucks the hair from the head or beard of a learned sage, of a conquering pundit, at this very moment, then he will get more material opulence in this life and in the next life than can be imagined." So then the whole court immediately rushed towards the conquering pundit with their hands out. "Oh, let me get a hair, let me get a hair." And they started pulling the hairs out of his head and beard. And he was shouting, "Oh, no!" And then he rushed out of the courtyard down the road. And they were all chasing him. "Give us a hair, give us a hair." And he fled away from the kingdom. So then Gopal Bhan, he came back to Maharaj Krishna Chandra very proudly. He announced, "I have defeated that Digvijaya Pandit with the help of my Katvanga Purana." And Maharaj Krishna Chandra said, "All right, now Gopal, may you please reveal to me what is the secret of this Katvanga Purana." So then Gopal, because the scroll, what appeared to be a scroll, was wrapped in cloth. So he took the edge of the cloth and he just flicked it. And what was inside came flying out. It was a bedpost. Now, everyone was like, "Wait, that's a bedpost. That's not a scripture." And Gopal said, "No, this is the Katvanga Purana." He said, "When I left you, Maharaj, to go put on my attire as a brahmana, I went to my house, and in my house, there's an old bed." Now, the Bengali word for bed is cut. He said, "There's an old cut." We have an English word, cot, which comes from this Bengali word, from the British Raj time. So, the same word is there. So, this cut was there, and it's an old cut. So Purana means old. And so I took this part. You see, part means in Sanskrit or Bengali is anga. I took this part, this post, from the cut, the very old cut. So Katvanga Purana, this very old part of my bed. And I wrapped it up in cloth. And with this I defeated that Digvijaya Pandit. So in mundane material society, this is the way that someone becomes prominent as big philosopher, big scientist, big scholar. More or less by trickery, cheating, dishonest argumentation, like that. But in spiritual society, in Krishna conscious society, Vaishnava society, one becomes recognized as guru by the selection of Krishna. Krishna selects. So, as mentioned here, there is an etiquette that a person who is in a socially from a social point of view, superior position, as Vidura was older than Uddhava, then the etiquette is he should accept instruction from an older spiritual master. This was Uddhava's consideration. So actually, Uddhava, he referred Vidura to Maitreya Muni. Although, as it is stated here, Uddhava could have certainly imparted the same instruction to Vidura. Now, we should consider that in doing so, in referring Vidura to Maitreya, Uddhava was in any case acting as Vidura's guru. So it's not that he was not Vidura's guru. He was referring him to another Shiksha guru, spiritual master, to receive instruction. And Vidura, he followed this instruction. So he was in any case acting as spiritual master Vidura. And that is because Uddhava was selected by Lord Krishna. And when Lord Krishna wanted to give his final instructions in this world, he chose Uddhava to receive them. There is in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Uddhava Gita, just like to Arjuna, Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita. So the Uddhava Gita is an elaboration on the message of Bhagavad Gita. In fact, if you read the Uddhava Gita, you'll find many, many verses are similar, as in Bhagavad Gita. But there is much more of Krishna's explanation to these verses. So, Krishna had selected Uddhava to be spiritual master. So for etiquette's sake, Uddhava referred Vidura to Maitreya, but in doing that he was acting as spiritual master in any case. So this is the principle in Vaishnava society, that Krishna selects the spiritual master. And these other considerations, is he from a socially superior position or whatever, that is actually, it is not important at all. And in fact, it has been seen that Krishna will select the spiritual master just to show that as far as Krishna is concerned, these social considerations, they do not matter at all. Just like there's the story of Ganga Mata Goswamini. She is a great acharya in our line, spiritual master. We observe her appearance day somewhere around this time of year, actually. I think it should be coming up very soon. It's in the summer, June, July, something like that. So, I don't know exactly what day, I'd have to check my calendar, but you will be celebrating her appearance day soon. So, if not already, I'm not sure. It was already. So, Ganga Mata Goswamini, she was, of course, first of all, she's a woman. And women are not... In normal Hindu society, you're never considered fit to act as spiritual master, to even become disciple of spiritual master, actually, in the ordinary Hindu society or Vedic society. So Ganga Mata Goswamini, she was born as a princess in a royal Bengali family. So that's another disqualification, because a woman born in such an aristocratic family, then she will be pampered. You see, she's given the soft life. So how can such a woman take up spiritual life? But yet, Ganga Mata, actually her original name was Sachi Devi, just like Lord Chaitanya's mother. But Sachi Devi, she was from her very appearance in this world, she was naturally attracted to Krishna. She was a Vaishnavi. From her nature. So she used to always like to hear about Krishna, and she would play with dolls of Krishna when she was a little girl. She was extremely attached to Krishna. So her mother and father, they loved her very much. They took very good care of her, made sure that she received the best opportunities possible. And then when she reached early maturity, they wanted to marry her, which is the custom still today in Hindu families. When a girl reaches 11, 12, 13, like that, a marriage is arranged. But Sachi Devi, She told her parents, no, I don't want to be married. I don't want to get entangled in the material world. I want to serve Krishna only. And she was very obstinate, very adamant in her determination. So her parents, they loved her so much, and they were considering that now we cannot marry our daughter. We cannot fulfill our lives seeing our beloved daughter take a husband and then have children herself. So what is the use to life? So they both became disheartened and they died. So in this way, Ganga Mata, her family attachments were broken. For some time, she was put in charge of the kingdom. But because she was just a young girl, she said, I'm not capable of running this kingdom. So she turned it over to some minister. And then as soon as she could, she left. So she would come and hear him give lecture on Srimad Bhagavatam. And she became so ecstatic, so spiritually satisfied hearing Haridas Thakur's explanation of Srimad Bhagavatam that she desired very much to accept him as spiritual master. But Haridas Pandit, in order to teach that becoming disciple of spiritual master is not a cheap thing, he first of all refused her. He said, you are not qualified. You're a woman. You're from a rich family. How can you become my disciple? So in any case, she kept coming. And she would do whatever service she could do. She would always clean the place where the devotees would come to hear the class. Whatever, any type of service she could do, she would do very nicely. So finally, Haridas, he took compassion upon Sachi Devi, and he said, all right. He said, I'll give you a chance to show what kind of devotee you are. So he did, just like what is done in ISKCON today, he sent her on Sankirtan. He sent her out to go from door to door and to preach to the people and to collect donations. And then she would bring back the donations to her chosen spiritual master. So in this way, she was very, very diligently carrying out. She was so happy that Haridas Thakur had at least given her some specific service. So very enthusiastically, she was going out and she was preaching, and people were so impressed. This young woman, she's so young, she comes from a nice family, but she's so austere, so pure, and she's so enthusiastic preaching. So she always melted everyone's hearts, and they would give her some donation, and she would come back very happily and place this at the feet of her spiritual master, very humbly. So finally he gave her initiation. And then he told her to go to Jagannath Puri and to start an ashram there. He said, go there and preach. You like to preach, so go there. Open a center. So she went to Jagannath Puri. And she began to preach. It was considered very unusual. This unmarried lady sadhu has come, Brahmacharini, and she's preaching. But everyone could understand that her preaching is so excellent. She's able to so nicely explain Srimad Bhagavatam. So she was given Maharaj Pratapruder, it was not Maharaj Pratapruder, but descendant. Forgot the name, Gajendra, I think. But anyway, the one descendant of Maharaj Pratapruder, king of Orissa, he gave her an ashram, a bit of land, near a river called the Sveta Ganja, means the white Ganges. It's not the Ganges River, but it's just called that name, Sveta Ganja. So she set herself up there, in that ashram, and she was giving classes every day. So one day, a specific holy day was coming, in which pilgrims left. They were leaving Orissa and they were going up to Bengal to bathe in the Ganges. This was the, it's called the Varuni day. It's very auspicious to bathe in the Ganges on that day. So Sachi Mata, she saw all the devotees were leaving to go bathe in the Ganges up in Bengal. So she was thinking, oh, I would also like to go. But my Guru Maharaj, he told me to stay here in Puri and preach. So I cannot step over the order of my Guru Maharaj. So as this Varuni day approached, she was thinking, she still had this feeling that I wish I could bathe in the Ganges on this day. It would be so nice. But anyway, I have to stay here and preach. So on the night before this holy day, she had a dream in which her Guru Maharaj told her that tomorrow, on this holy day, you just bathe in the Sveta Ganges and you will get all the credit of having bathed in the original Ganges. So she was very happy to have this dream. And so the next day, actually one should bathe at midnight. So the next day, at midnight, she entered the waters of the Sveta Ganga. And she was bathing there, but then suddenly a great wave in this river, a great wave pushed her downstream. It dragged her downstream. She was very alarmed. She was crying out, "Krishna, Krishna, what's happening? I'm being swept away by this sudden current." And then this current, it took a very strange course, a very mystical course. Instead of going the normal path of the Sveta Ganga River, it took her to the temple of Jagannath, where no river flows. And she saw looming up ahead the great temple of Jagannath. What is happening here? I'm being swept by this water into the temple of Jagannath, which of course was closed. It was nighttime. But mysteriously, the water surged and they pushed open the doors of the Jagannath temple. And they brought her right into the Jagannath Mandir. And the doors closed behind her. And there she saw Lord Jagannath. And she saw that these waters that she had been bathing in, they're flowing from the lotus feet of Lord Jagannath. Because the Ganges flows from the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. So Lord Jagannath was showing her that there is no difference between this river and the original Ganges because it flows from my lotus feet. So bathe in this river. So inside the Jagannath Mandir, very happily she was taking her bath. And she was noticing that from all over the universe, there were Siddhas, Charanas, Gandharvas, Devas, even the greatest demigods, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, they had all descended to bathe in this water. And they were all chanting the glories of the Lord. Chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So hundreds of thousands, millions of voices together were chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. So this sound awoke the guards of the Jagannath Mandir. They were sleeping out. They hadn't noticed any of this. So they heard all this commotion inside. They woke up and they became very alarmed. And they ran to the pandas, to the priests. They woke up the priests and they said, "Something is happening in the Mandir. We don't know what it is, but it sounds like there's hundreds and thousands of people in there." So then the pandas, they came with the key to the lock of the temple door. They opened and they went in. And they also, the pandas, they brought the royal guards. Actually, the king himself was awakened. So the royal soldiers and the king, they all came and the doors were opened. And they didn't, inside they didn't see any people except one. They'd heard all this roaring inside. But when they opened the temple, they saw only Ganga Mata. This one young lady sadhu, she was standing there all alone. So they arrested her. They said, we always had our doubts about this strange woman who came preaching the Bhagavatam. How can a woman teach Bhagavatam? Now we see what's really going on. She's just a common thief. She came here in the night to to steal the jewels of Lord Jagannath. So place her under arrest. Throw her in the prison. So she was thrown in the prison. But she was completely in ecstasy. She didn't mind. Because she had just had the darshan of Lord Jagannath bathed in the water emanating from her lotus feet. All the demigods were there. So she was in complete ecstasy. So she was just chanting Hare Krishna. And they put her in the prison. And then they all went back to sleep. So then, as they slept, all the Brahmins of Lord Jagannath, the king, the king's ministers, they all simultaneously had the same dream. Lord Jagannath appeared in their dream. And he was very angry. He said, "You have arrested my pure devotee, Gangamata Goswamini." He gave her that name, Gangamata. "You have arrested her and put her in prison. This is a great offense. There is only one way you can be relieved of this offense. That means immediately you have to go release her from prison and you all have to accept her as your guru." So they all woke up at the same time from that dream and they rushed to the prison and with great humility they opened the door. And, you know, she is just a very simple devotee, so she was very surprised to see how humble these big pandits, the king, the king's ministers, when she stepped out of the prison, they all offered dandavats. So she was very surprised, and then they begged her, "Please initiate us. Please give us initiation. Please accept us as your disciples." So when she understood that it was the will of Lord Jagannath, she did it. So this is why she is honored today in our Vaishnava calendar. Because although from all social considerations, she should have not have been a guru, especially not guru of the personal priests of Lord Jagannath and the king of Orissa and the king's ministers, still she was selected by Krishna. Lord Jagannath, he willed this. So it was done. So this is the standard in Vaishnava society, that Krishna selects the guru. And in mundane society, it's all done by bogus trickery, you see, pride, arrogance, false scholarship, and so on and so forth. All cheating. So this mundane process, upstart scholarship, should not enter into the Vaishnava process. Otherwise, it becomes this Appa Sampradaya, deviant school, deviant sect of pseudo-Vaishnavism, which is condemned by all the real acharyas. So I will stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any questions?
Sometimes it comes to mind, why sometimes Mataji didn't give lectures on Srimad Bhagavatam? Sometimes even people ask us, what Prabhupada's standard was.
Well, there's no prohibition. It's a question. It's a matter of qualification. That's all. If there's, in Germany, there's a few women temple presidents, so it's not like that's the standard all over ISKCON. But it's all a question of qualification. Generally by their nature, women may not be inclined to give lectures like this, you know, to lead a temple. But some of them may be. And if they're qualified, if they can do a nice job of it, then they can give lectures. But you see, it's not a question of being man or woman. It's just a question of being an enthusiastic and qualified devotee. Sometimes there's some talk that there should be some, like in Karmi society, they have this. At least in America, they have what they call quota system. A company has to, you know, in its workforce, has to have a certain percentage of women and blacks and, you know, minority groups in order to receive certain benefits. So then artificially, you know, they're just hiring these people just to fulfill the quota, whether they're qualified or not. So that sometimes it is, I mean, I've heard arguments approaching, even from devotees, approaching this sort of policy. They think there should be some social adjustment in which, you know, you have a few Matajis in the temple, all right, so they should be giving class, you know, whether they want to or not, whether they're able to or not. Should set them down on the asana and put the book in front of them, they should speak. Well, you know, this is artificial. But if they're qualified, they can speak. Mm-hmm. Yes?
How is it possible that so many devotees, men, they are qualified, so many, I mean, mm-hmm. all of them, and how is it possible that no Matajis are qualified? I did that really.
But as I said, that's not the fact. First of all, not all men are qualified to give class. That is well known. And it's not that all women are not qualified, because as I said, there are some countries where women are giving the class. So, I don't know, I guess it varies from place to place.
Huh?
Oh yeah, Yadurani.
I know her, you know, but I mean, I know there's many questions why the initiation from her.
Mm-hmm.
So is that possible in ISKCON, or is it against the Vaishnava principles?
There's nothing against the Vaishnava principles, but as I say, individual qualification has to be examined. It's regarding Mother Yadurani. Her, I mean, she's a nice devotee. I've known her since I joined. But her, you know, she's had some problems in the past. So I know this has been discussed. I was once participating in such a discussion about her. And that's the consideration. It has nothing to do with her being a woman. It's just that even as recently as 1985, she had some very serious, I mean, since you're asking this question, I have to give this answer. I don't like to say these things, but since you asked the question, it has to be said. Even as recently as 1985, she's had some problems in spiritual life. Although she's, you know, a good speaker and charismatic, and I know Matajis like her. I know Matajis who accept her as Shiksha Guru already. But, you know, qualification has to be considered. Well, it's under discussion, but no serious that I know of, and I don't know everything that goes on in ISKCON, but no serious candidate that I know of has ever been put forward. There's Mother Yadurani, but then there's, as I say, there's certain things, certain drawbacks about that, and then if there's others, I've not heard. Huh? Well, I don't know what her position is either. I'm sorry. I don't know if she's a regular devotee right now. I mean, she wrote that nice cookbook, but I don't know if she's living in an ISKCON temple. Or, I mean, really, I don't know, but I've heard some things. That, anyway, when Krishna wants, it will happen. And the tradition is there in our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. There have been women spiritual masters. Not a whole lot of them, but there have been. Janava Mata, the wife of Lord Nityananda, is another great example. Actually, she was the leader of the whole Sampradaya for a time.
It's not the right attitude to push yourself to the Vaishnava, suppose yourself, I want to be blessed, man or woman.
Yeah, I mean, that's, as I say, as soon as it comes down to some artificial social, you know, social movement or, you know, politics, then it's mundane. it cannot be adjusted in that way, just by some quota system, you know. It has to be on the basis of qualification. So there are some women who, as I say, they give lectures, they're quite competent to organize a preaching center. There's two or three of them in Germany. Very heavy Viking type women. And they're nice devotees, but you know, they're very staunch. No nonsense. What a jeez. Anything else? Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.